Hello and welcome to another installment of the Full Force Monthly, brought to you by Hoarder, the collector's app. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and in this regular series we get stuck into specific G.I. Joe related topics every single month. Joining me on this episode is one half of the Articulated Points YouTube channel and my regular co-host on the Full Force Weekly. It's Patrick, not Picard Stewart, and of course he's back again. It's the General himself, Justin Generals Joe's Bell. Okay then, last month we had a conversation about the current state of the G.I. Joe O-ring line and where we would like it to go, so we thought it would make sense, what with the recent Super 7 news, that we would look at the Ultimates line and what we would love to see in a wave ourselves. Throw in another version therapy and you've got yourselves a brand new episode of What Is It, Pat?
It's the Full Force Monthly!
Yay!
Actually, I already said it was a Full Force Monthly.
Yeah, that's true. But I still appreciate it. Thank you. How are you doing, buddy? It's been ages. Has it been ages? A week?
Yeah, maybe less than a week, actually. It was 6 days for me. How about Justin?
It's been a little bit. A couple weeks, maybe? 2-3 weeks? I don't remember. When did we record this last one?
It's about 3 weeks ago.
Something like that.
Yeah, we're getting you regularly now, so it's good.
That's right.
Yeah. How are you doing, buddy? How's things?
Man of my age, regularity is good. No, I'm doing good. I'm good. Everything's going well. Life is crazy, but doing all right. Got college stuff going on with my daughter.
Oh, I thought you meant it for yourself. I was like, well, I'm sure you've done all that already.
Yeah, I have done all that already. I'm not doing that again. Yeah. Yeah.
I also like your new default background you've got going on.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned when I first dialed on that, you know, I left it there on purpose like I was bragging or something. And I just kind of said, well, I got nowhere else to put it. The thing is freaking huge. I'm like, I can't use my basement for the next until I figure out what to do with it.
I thought when you came on, you'd be sitting in it.
Right? I should. I don't know. Maybe I can fit in that box. I don't know. It's decent size.
That's
thing's a beast.
Insane, man. And and also, I bet you can't wait to add the HasLab his tank to that as well.
My goodness. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this stuff. I mean, it's bad enough I've got nowhere to put that. I don't even know when the hiss arrives, all bets are off. I was, you know, I had the Thunder Tank out. I was kind of looking at it and, you know, trying to visualize how the hiss would compare it to. And the Thunder Tank is actually, the vehicle itself is a little bit smaller than I thought it was looking at pictures. But trying to visualize how the hiss is probably going to be a lot taller, maybe not quite as long, but it might be wider. It's going to be interesting.
You're sweating, aren't you, just thinking about
it? I am. I am.
I wonder if there is such thing as a Super 7 completist, like every line they do.
Oh, my, I can't even imagine. There's completists for everything. I'm sure there's got to be, but I don't know. I mean, between the Snake Mountain and that thing alone, you're going to have like a... I don't know, some kind of fortress to fit all that stuff.
Every reaction line, every Ultimates figure and
don't they have the party van coming out at some point? The Turtles thing?
Yes. Yeah, they love making massive vehicles, don't they? But anyway, well, we're talking Super 7 today, so we might as well get stuck right into that.
That's why I left it there, because we're talking Super 7. No, that's bull, sorry, but that's a happy coincidence, but we can pretend.
We can pretend that you were thinking ahead. For once.
Exactly. I haven't gotten my G.I. Joe Ultimates yet, by the way. You know, I've heard a lot of people have received them, and I got wave two of the Silverhawks, but I have not gotten my G.I. Joe Ultimates yet. So I don't know what the holdup is. But
did you order from Super 7?
I did, yeah. I know there are other vendors have been getting the stuff first, but I got an email saying they arrived, I thought. But they haven't shipped yet, or maybe, I don't know what the email said. I got some email from Super 7 about the G.I. Joe Ultimates.
It was a phishing email that I sent you.
Probably.
Nothing to do with that at all.
You now own all of my personal information.
It's not difficult. Where do you live? Thunder Tank.
Third Earth, yes.
That's it. Man, if they did the HQ, like the Cat's Lair, could you imagine that? Ultimate size?
That would be nuts. Yeah, that would be nuts.
This is also the longest unrelated intro we've ever had. It's kind of related.
Let's Full Force Monthly is all Thundercats this month, I've decided.
That's awesome.
So think on your feet, Pat. I want Thundercats. Come on, let's go.
I have no idea about Thundercats.
Oh, man.
You're gonna have to do an articulated points video on it, aren't you? Just so you understand it all.
I don't even think I could. I don't think I could. Right now, all my brain's still on Sergeant Savage, and that's the only thing I can fit in my head.
That's what we're doing today. Super 7 Sergeant Savage is all Pat's going to be talking about today. Right then, let's move on then to the point of the show, Explosion. Okay then, the theme of this month's show is Super 7 Ultimates, based on Wave 1 hitting mailboxes recently, with Waves 2 and 3 just around the corner, as well as an upcoming Wave 4 reveal, very much on the cards. Who knows, it might already have been revealed at this point, depending on how long this takes me to edit. Each presenter will have to choose a personal favourite Wave of 4 figures seen in the Sunbow or Deke animation and or Marvel comics, and they would like to see in the line in the future, and then we can all discuss it and tell Pat why he's just wrong, and that you can't have Sergeant Savage characters. Same goes for Justin and Sigma 6, actually. Speaking of Justin, please go ahead and give us your first figure choice and why, please, and thank you.
Yeah, sure. So obviously, I know Super 7 kind of pulls from Sunbow and comic inspiration. I really went cartoon with most of these selections just because I think it kind of lends itself better to the Ultimates aesthetic.
Yeah.
My first choice was Leatherneck.
Nice.
You know, I'm a big fan of Leatherneck. I really liked him in the comic. I liked the action figures, but... he was really kind of his own unique personality in Sunbow. You know,
yeah.
He kind of had a little bit of a unique look to him compared to the toy. You know, kind of that grizzled face. You know, he's a little bit stockier, a little bit bigger. But yeah, he was a real key member of that season 2 cast that that I really enjoyed. And I thought having a very accurate animation version of Leatherneck would be pretty cool. So he came in at my number one choice.
Out of interest, do you like the image I chose where he's wearing a cook's hat?
I love it. I could see Super 7 doing that as an alternate head sculpt for sure. Yeah,
That's
great.
I want to say Let's Play Soldier was from that episode.
Yep.
With the Chulmugra sap tree that gives you like mind control capabilities.
That's amazing.
Cobra put into sticks of gum. That's how they. Yeah, that was just another.
They don't make cartoons like that anymore.
But you could have a little stick of gum. You could have that hat. There's also, I think, in that episode, there's a tiny little cobra pocket knife. So it's a pocket knife, but it's got the cobra emblem on it. So there's loads of cute little things in just that episode that Leatherneck's in that you could probably drop into a couple of as accessories. Have you thought about accessories for Leatherneck? What would you kind of give him?
I struggled a little bit with that aspect because I know there's a bunch of accessories you could give him for sure. I mean, I love that head sculpt with the chef's hat. I will admit I'm not as well versed in season 2 of the Sunbow Tune as I am in season 1. So I haven't revisited it many times, but I think there's some opportunities for some episode specific accessories that you could work in there.
I think alternate head wise though, I mean that episode he's on the plane holding onto the side of the plane like Tom Cruise style, Mission Impossible style, and his hat's gone at that point.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I was thinking
I was thinking a hatless head and a head with a hat for sure. His familiar, you know, kind of M16 with the grenade launcher underneath it obviously would be one backpack.
Yep.
I think there's a bunch of different things they could potentially do.
I think
that would be pretty cool.
That's a good little rollout for Leatherneck. I like that. Yeah, and Leatherneck's an awesome Leatherneck's an awesome character in the cartoon, and was so prominent in it. Like, he was in so many episodes.
Exactly.
What do you think, Pat, of Leatherneck? Are you into that one?
Yeah, for sure. I think Leatherneck's always a good choice. He's a fun character. It's a great design to begin with. So, and I really like the picture that you chose of the chef's hat. It's kind of what I'm curious what Super 7 would actually do on a lot of these. And I don't think that even in my mind, did I dive deep enough into thinking some of that at all.
Yeah, but we'll work it. We'll think of some things as we go through. Because, yeah. I mean, your first choice actually is probably worth having a look at. And that's one that we could probably all find, you know, things for. And he's pretty core character you've gone for.
Sure. That's kind of my thinking. Like, I like the Ultimates line, but, you know, I don't need those. I mean, we joke about Sergeant Savage. I really don't need obscure characters in the Ultimates line. Like, I think that it should be more than just the core, but at the same time, you know, I would not consider Leatherneck a core character, but yes, he fits in the Ultimates line for sure. I would even say that it probably should try to stick to Sunbow as much as possible. Like the exclusive bat, which is based in the comic, was great. But you know, I don't need everybody from both comic form and cartoon form. I think that just sticking with the Sunbow designs is enough because that seems to be, for the most part, what the initial design is. So my choice is Zartan.
Nice.
Love
Yeah,
it.
I love Zartan. He's one of my favorite figures from the original line, obviously. And there's so much stuff that they could pack with him. I think, though, if they do make a Zartan, they probably need to plan out in advance how they are going to make the Cold Slither one. The Cold Slither Zartan would be, Ultimates would be amazing.
Hell
But
yeah.
you know, you're only going to have space for so many accessories across two Zartan figures. So maybe you include the microphone now, or maybe you include the guitar now.
Yeah.
Something early on to call out that Cold Slither so that you can make a Cold Slither Zartan later and have already have a start on those accessories.
Definitely. That's a great idea.
And a gem of that size, you also need.
Oh. I was going to ask you the question, but that answers all of them.
Okay.
An answer of that size, Pat, answers that question I had. That's awesome, man. That's so such a great shout. The gem of that size. Perfect. That's the perfect homage accessory. Done.
Yeah, it implies that he got it at some point, right?
Finally. I'm pretty sure she gave it to him at that point, didn't she? Didn't she just hide it away again, did she?
I don't know. I don't remember. I
Oh, that's
thought,
a good question.
hey, once the job's complete, you get this gem, or maybe she just it didn't matter enough to her that she was just like, yeah, here, whatever. I have 20 of these.
Well, she probably did. She probably, well, I don't know where she pulled it out of because she didn't look like she had anything on her. And then all of a sudden, it's just out of the. There you go.
Well,
Yeah.
now, uh-oh.
I'm gonna look to see if she actually gives it to
That would be a
him.
great for the credit scene, would be just Zartan digging through like the rubble of Cobra Law looking for more gems.
Did you actually get given to you Zartan? Anyway, let us know in the comments below, even though we're going to ignore it anyway. I'm also going to fast forward until I find that. No, I'm never going to be able to find it in time. Anyway, yes, so that's great. What would you? Here's an idea. Color change might be off the cards. Might
Yeah.
be. But what about glow in the dark blue?
Yeah, there's definitely something. I don't know about the glow in the dark blue skin, but you could actually probably do something about the glowing chest. Like have a swappable panel. Yeah, I mean, sure, glow in the dark blue could be cool. Super 7 does amazing glow in the dark. And if they did a glow in the dark Zartan, that would be a winner for sure. I don't know. I don't have to have a glow in the dark though.
You don't have to, but you're gonna have it, and there's nothing you can do about it. I would, in that case, maybe they might save that for some sort of exclusive re release in the future. Then for the,
Yeah.
maybe the color change, because I'm sure they, I'm, they've, they, I'm sure he'd do color change. They were thinking about it, weren't they, for reaction, and then it got changed. So they had planned to do that.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So maybe since this is an Ultimates, maybe he would glow in the dark, or maybe he would color change.
I'm nearly at that point where she gives him the gem, by the
Oh, really?
way. So close.
Yeah, I
So
thought that
close.
it cut away after he says a gem of that size answers all of my questions.
I've just got to the point where Xandar goes, "You know us." That's my favorite line in it. We know everything. Anyway, that's by the by. They could even give him a little furry vest jacket. But again, we're kind of talking movie stuff here, aren't we? Maybe they hold out for that.
That's true. That is true. I don't know. I don't know how long, but here it is. Given that size answers all of our questions.
Oh, you don't see if he gets it or not. I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes, he got it. But that's again by the by. Zartan, great choice, Pat. What do you think, Justin, on Zartan?
Oh, I love it. I mean, Zartan's one of my favorite characters, and I think he's got some traits in the Sunbow universe that he doesn't really have elsewhere, and you could really have Super 7 lean into that. I love the idea of him coming with one or two Cold Slither accessories, just as compliments to that part, because that's obviously a key part of his history, especially in Sunbow. And yeah, I agree, like it would be tricky to do the any kind of glow in the dark stuff, but I think if anybody could figure out how to make it work, I'm betting Super Seven could. So
Yeah,
all of
definitely.
it's really cool. I really dig that idea. It's great.
You reckon they could get away with like a swamp skier vehicle for him? Do you reckon they could get away with that as like a vehicle release for G.I. Joe?
I would think so. I mean, if they can get away with something like that, I would think they could do a chameleon without too much trouble.
Because it would
Just,
still
I
be,
guess, depends on price point.
it would still be pretty large, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. For a 7-inch scale figure, you're probably still looking at like that big or so. But I mean, they do that, and they did the big throne for Monstor for Silverhawks. They did that little skid for that female bounty hunter in Thundercats. I don't remember her name, but I mean, they've got a history of doing that. So I don't see why not. That certainly is something they could do, I would think.
Just throwing it out there. Would you want that part? Would you be cool with him, your Zartan, coming with the swamp skier?
I think that we have a history of not enough swamp skiers is what we have, because the dreadnoughts all ride on the swamp skier, and it's
Yeah.
like you just need several of those. And then in the vintage line, you only got one with Zartan, and there's not really been another good swamp skier that I can think of since then.
One in the 25th, right? I want to say it was on
Oh,
Carn, wasn't
that
it?
tiny.
That thing was like that big. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was
Yeah.
like that was no good.
That was just almost, it felt like it was almost a way of differentiating the two Zartans that were going to be at retail.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Looked really good with the Zartan from what was the Combat Heroes, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, it looked good with that, but it didn't look too good with the 25th one.
Combat Heroes,
It's
amazing.
like it was like a an in universe, it was more like a swamp skier Power Wheels.
Amazing. Well, yeah, I'm definitely down for Zartan. I think he's a core character in all of the kind of iterations, and especially for Sunbow. And I chose images there for you, Pat. One of which is that one where his chest looks gigantic when he kind of like sticks it out to Flint in Flint's Vacation after he's ripped a giant fat guy suit off his entire body as the sheriff. One of my favorite scenes when he takes disguises off, and it's just like this
Whoop,
per
and like the whole thing just comes off all at once.
it's a one like it's a onesie. Like, couldn't see the joins in that thing. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, brilliant. Not it's, and it's great because he's got his cowl on underneath as well. It's just genius. I love the Sunbow cartoon. Right now, my first choice, I'm going to go with kind of like a Steady Eddie, I'd call him, in the Sunbow universe. And one character who was synonymous in the Action Force International Heroes era, which was my kind of like what my sweet spot growing up. And I had the figure as a kid. I loved him in the cartoons, the episodes, the VHS episodes that we got. And he was very prominent in the Action Force weekly comics as well. And that is Footloose. Now, again, like Footloose, I kind of feel like he's one of those guys who's sort of huge in the Sunbow kind of like tier of characters, but is almost the low one of the lowest levels everywhere else. Like, he's never redone ever in any way, shape, or form. Like, yeah, he'll get like the standard release of that particular character, you know, in like a line that continues for a long period of time. You're never gonna get him in other licensees. You're never gonna get him, like, you know, for example, I forget the name.
Funko Pop.
Funko Pop, yeah.
Okay, there's one. What's the other one I was thinking of that is quite prominent recently? Oh God, what are they called?
Bag clips.
6-inch figures, high end.
Classified?
112 Collective.
Oh,
You're never gonna
Mezco.
get him in
Mezco.
Mezco. You're never gonna get him in the Snake Eyes and Storm Shadows that you get everywhere else in like the 12-inch. So he's never going to show up in that stuff. But he was pretty prominent in the cartoon, like for a significant amount of time in that run. And he's also like in some of the some of my favorite episodes, Worlds Without End. He has one of my favorite lines in that, where he starts at the ore striker, and he comes zooming up to them all, and he's like, "Where to, sports?" So like. I loved his character. I thought he's very like, again, like very standard issue, but I really like him, and I think he kind of deserves some shine. And I think the Ultimates line is where he could get that. And again, I think very cool design. The camo, the helmet, the you could do like again alternate heads, so you had the helmetless head. You could have the keys to the ore striker that he finds in that episode. I think that'd be kind of a fun little homage accessory. He's also very like surfer dude. He's almost like rock and roll was supposed to be. Do you know what I mean? Like he's almost the character that I think rock and roll was supposed to be, that they just like put onto Footloose a little bit. And so like, you could get the guitar. There's even like there's one episode, I believe it's Footloose. He's watching something on TV and he's eating popcorn. And I think like that would be a nice one. I know Breaker's done it as well. I think Breaker's been eating popcorn when something's been on TV as well. So there's always something like that. And I think Footloose is watching the TV when the American football's on. So how much fun would it be to have like a little TV with the American football going on the screen? Something like that I think would be kind of cute as well. So so for me, like Footloose, and obviously all of his classic accessories, the backpack, the maybe even the Sunbow rifle. I'm not sure if he carried his kind of classic rifle in the cartoon very often. A lot of them just had Sunbow rifles for the most part. So I'd be super down for Footloose. What do you guys think about Footloose?
I love the idea. I mean, I agree. He was kind of an unsung character throughout much of the rest of G.I. Joe's history. Larry Hama didn't even do a whole lot with him, and he had a knack of kind of latching on to those obscure characters and really giving them some personality. I do think it was funny the way he was approached in Sunbow. I know you said like surfer dude, which is very accurate, but I kind of thought like a pot smoker, sort of that sort of mentality. But so interesting that they kind of leaned into his, footloose and carefree sort of, personality in that way. It was interesting the way they did that, because I don't, if I remember right, there's really no indication on his file card or any other background. That's sort of where his
Hang on, let me.
personality
I'll
lie.
read it out. He smoked a lot of pot in college. There we go.
Oh,
Perfect.
it's right there.
Right
Okay.
there.
Kudos, Larry. He nailed it.
He says he was a valedictorian of his high school class, captain of the track team, and an Eagle Scout. He was going for his degree in physical education on a state scholarship when he suddenly dropped out, moved to the coast, and became quite weird for about 3 years.
Okay, well, there you go. All
There
right. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Larry nailed it, and
you
Sunbow nailed it too.
He was standing on the boardwalk in Venice pondering something cosmic when the utter pointlessness of his existence hit him between the eyes like a runaway freight train. I think I'll join the army, he said, and promptly did. Took basic and AT at Fort Benning, graduated jump school and desert training, etc., 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 etc.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah, I should have remembered that. But yeah,
If
they latched on to what Larry wrote there and leaned into it, full bore, which is great.
ever there was a way to say pot smoker without saying pot
I
smoker.
know. We say this all the time, but his ability to tell an entire story within like two paragraphs is
Yeah.
just, it blows my mind. I've been
Absolutely.
writing for a long time, and I don't know, I still don't know how he does that. It's pretty impressive.
This is the thing, though, isn't it? Like, there's such a depth of character, like, all over the G.I. Joe kind of
Yeah.
space. And it's funny that it even hides in certain places. Like, because again, I'd know a lot of the file cards, but
Yeah.
usually because I have to research them or whatever. Like, and as a kid, I'm not going to remember every single file. I read them all,
Right.
but I'm not going to remember everything. So every now and again, it'll be like, oh, I wonder if that is pointed out. And then I'll go in there and it'll be like, oh, there it is. That's
Yeah.
where that one line there that defines the entire character has been kind of set in stone a
And
little bit.
I think that's why, that's part of the reason at least why G.I. Joe is so kind of long lasting and pervasive, and why it's got, it had such a wide fan base, is because even a character like Footloose, who barely appeared in the comics, if at all, and granted had some presence in the cartoon, but was not, if you ask somebody to name their top 20 G.I. Joe characters, he most likely wouldn't be listed there. Yet, he's got a personality.
Yeah.
He is somebody thanks to that file card. I mean, that was really his major kind of where his character was developed, was in the context of, those one or two paragraphs. And Larry just, he did that with every single character, no matter how frequently they appeared throughout the mythology. Nobody was a cast off. Nobody was just going through the motions. Everybody that he wrote a file card for had that unique personality where, somebody, can say, yeah, Steamroller's my favorite character because of this. And it's like, Steamroller, I mean, what the heck? But they had this file card, and the way he was designed and sculpted, and just G.I. Joe with this roster of hundreds of characters, and each one of them, thanks to these file cards, has a certain depth to them that is just unique, I think, compared to a lot of others out there.
I mean, the only reason he probably gets as many versions of figures that he's had is because he was in the Marauders as well. So, like, that kind of doubles your output straight away. But he's only had six figures. That's like, you know, in terms of like a G.I. Joe of someone of that magnitude on the cartoon, like, it's surprising. And again, like, he wasn't a main character in the cartoon, let me get that straight, but he was prominent in it. Sure. And so that is an interesting one. And I know a lot of people are big fans of him, and there's a real coolness about him, probably from all of the right. Yeah, so that's our first choices down. Justin, back to you then, buddy, for your second. We have four choices each on this one for a wave. You've gone for another one here that I like, and it kind of is connected to your first one in a way.
It is, yeah. There's no way I could have mentioned a Sunbow era Leatherneck without also mentioning a Sunbow era wetsuit.
Absolutely.
And I think part of the reason I chose wetsuit for this Ultimates line is really, you know, for one reason, because he's never really appeared without that, you know, helmet on, with that unique kind of curly head. There was a Joe versus Cobra version of him in 2000, I think, that had that style head, but you know, it was on a swivel neck. It wasn't really compatible with the other figures, and it did have a ball, but it wasn't really compatible with some of the other figures, and it was a little unique design, so to speak. So I really would love to see a head to toe wetsuit, you know, designed with, you know, obviously with the helmet on and with the helmet off, you know, come with, you know, some Sunbow era accessories, you know, the picture you chose, you know, he's got his familiar kind of hose going to the backpack, the toy came within the flippers, but he's got like this other sort of device in his right hand, almost looks like a hairdryer, but have that, have him come with that, have him come with the regular, you know, searchlight and the little scuba sled that the action figure version came with. I just think it'd be really cool to have him kind of standing next to Leatherneck, you know, fighting, you know, they both have to come with fists. They can kind of fight each other because they were always antagonistic in the cartoon. So, yeah, I think you can't really have one without the other. Same as you can't have Alpine without Bazooka if you're talking about a cartoon line. You've got to have Leatherneck and Wetsuit both together.
I would suggest like two helmetless heads, like him and Leatherneck, both like with just the hair out. And the other thing is, as well, like, again, Wetsuit comes up in quite a lot of episodes where specifically things happen. And one of those images that I threw in there was from my favorite things, where Leatherneck gets, he gets like a dart in his back, which has the Serpentor kind of poison in it, basically the kind of the snake poison in it. And that would be great to have for Leatherneck, for example.
Definitely, yep.
And then...
And didn't he make like a cup of like anti-venom
exactly,
or something like that
yeah,
too?
Yeah, yeah. And so he, there's also that thing where, I mean, you'd have to have the wetsuit, you'd have to have him almost in all casual for that episode because I don't think he wears his wetsuit in that. I think he's always got the shirt and the jeans and he even tears his shirt and wraps it around his arm to get the snake to bite onto him to get the rest of the venom so that he can help Leatherneck later.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm peeking at the Hasbro YouTube channel who's doing some, you know, looking at sort of Wetsuit and Leatherneck episodes, and I'm on Joe's Night Out right now.
Oh my God.
This nightclub that looks like the Space Needle.
Yes.
And they're partying with other people wearing their full combat uniform, and then Cobra has turned the Space Needle into a rocket.
It's
talk
brilliant.
To all these fans out there that are like, oh, Call of Duty, hardcore military, and then you look at that and you're like, this is fantastic, you know.
Mate, Joe's Night Out is a brilliant episode. I got that on VHS towards the end of the, you know, the VHS being available in stores. Actually,
yeah,
it was one of the last ones I bought. It was a G.I. Joe: The Action Force one, I think, and so that gives you an idea, like 91, 92, and it was hilarious because you're right, they overdubbed it as well, so there's Action Force elements in there, but. There's this one, the fact that they're, let's go on a date. And then the next thing you see when they're going, when they're picking up their dates, they're all wearing their gear. And it's like, what?
Wetsuit's in his wetsuit. Yeah, Leatherneck's got his full camouflage grenades hooked to his belt. Yeah, it's like,
oh. I know it might have been a bit more expensive to have different character models, you know, for that one. But come on. But there's that bit where they put a fishbowl on Wetsuit's head and put tape around it.
Yeah.
And then
send him
out. It's
going to protect him in outer space. Yeah. He's got like garbage bags on. And, yeah.
And he's using Coke cans to like, you know, shaking him up and then as like, you know, to get to the, it's just genius.
Priceless.
Brilliant episode. Yeah, let's get the Coke can with the spray coming out of it. Done.
Absolutely.
See? Absolutely. Awesome. But anyway, yeah, Pat, what are your thoughts on Wetsuit there, mate?
You just have me picturing that happening in space and all the experiments I've watched, you know, in real space happening. And I've never seen that. So I want to see if there actually is a Coke can experiment to see what happens.
No kidding. Mythbusters needs to get on that. They need to like send somebody up in space with soda cans. And
the
see,
myth, the Mythbusters G.I. Joe special to come back.
Go.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be awesome.
I like the idea of Wetsuit though. It's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, could be packed with gear, the flippers, the all of the stuff. Him in his you'd have to be him in his, you know, his wetsuit gear. Definitely,
yeah, yeah.
Definitely on that one.
Yeah, but the finally delivering upon having multiple heads is a really nice touch and something that is just overdue for so many Sunbow characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of multiple heads, Pat, not necessarily heads, but your choice is one of the ones that was made me very jealous because obviously that was one that I would love to see 100%, and it would have been in my list somewhere. But
okay,
but tell us because it's awesome.
It's one of those ones that just sticks out in your mind as something awesome as a kid, and I don't think it comes from where, like I think it has an origin, but it's Televiper.
Yes,
chose the multiple heads in order to have the multiple messages coming across his visor. I always suspected that in that first moment that was animated, that maybe he was supposed to be just reading that on a monitor somewhere and it was reflecting in his glasses because, you know, as we see it on his visor, it's backwards. But he kind of just ran with this idea that whenever a message comes through, it just, you know, reads out like an LED message or something. It runs across his visor. I don't know. I guess like it's a teleprompter, but backwards for other people.
I guess it's like he's getting the message come up on his heads up display, I guess, isn't he? Like, so he sees it in the right way around.
But how big does that message need to be time in your heads up display?
He's an old person, Pat. He needs big text.
It needs to be that close and that big. It needs to be like 200 font and an inch from his eyes and lit.
Just try it. Put a big text thing on your screen and just do that and see if you can actually. No, it's just a blur at that point.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. And yeah, totally. Although on his heads up display, it's probably far away. You know, it's like
maybe.
That, yeah, I'm just making stuff up now as we talk. But no, it's genius.
But it would be fun to have multiple heads with different messages.
So I'm remembering the ouch, which was one of my favorite ones, where he gets like literally they are lots of them, various. But when he gets covered by rocks.
Yeah, is it like his coming through directly to his visor then?
That must be the case. I mean,
Was it a different guy telling him ouch?
that must have hurt you. Ouch. It's definitely because, and just before that, he goes, fire! And as he's saying that, it's flashing across his face as well. So, yeah, brilliant. So you've got fire, intruder alert, I've seen.
Intruder. Yeah, Joe, talk to text.
You what?
G.I. Joe must have invented talk to text.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And freaking rapid as well. Or yeah, they think it and say it and it flashes up at exactly the same moment. That's what we're dealing with here. I do love it. I think it's a brilliant idea. It makes no sense when you get into the logic aspects of it. It just doesn't make any sense. But for a kid, it's cool as all heck. So like, you know, you see that and you're kind of like, oh man, I want that toy to do that. I want a helmet that does that.
I think Ultimates is a unique space where they could do this. I don't think that in the classified series that it would make sense to have included a bunch of helmets with, or a bunch of heads, I should say, with Televiper. And they really couldn't do that in the 4-inch scale, and even if somebody came out with a 12-inch televiper, I mean, maybe one or two messages or maybe some stickers. I just don't see it making a lot of sense to spend the money. But in Ultimates, yeah, I kind of think that this is the time where we actually could get this.
Yeah, I agree. Love it. Great idea. You in for Televiper there, Justin?
Yeah, I think I love it. I love it. Yeah, and the typing across the visors is just their it's their trademark. So yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I bet you any money, had they not changed tack on how many variants they were doing for army builders, when we got Televiper in the reaction line, I guarantee there'd have been nine of them, and all nine would have had different things on them. On
That would
their
have been really
thighs.
cool.
That actually would have been fun.
That would have been fun. And then also, but they would have thrown a spanner in the works by changing that up randomly throughout. So you had almost infinite versions to try and collect.
So it would be like the beginning of the word or just the end of the word.
Oh, how sucky would that be? But yeah,
Yeah.
that'd be so much fun. I love it. Yeah, great shout there, Pat, on Televiper. That's one I would definitely have had as well. My second choice, as we kind of try and rinse through these, we're actually delving into the movie. And I know this was one that was on a lot of. I know Justin, you wanted to do this one as well, and I apologize for stealing it, but I'm all about this particular character, and that is Pythona. And I think could I mean this is a no-brainer for so many reasons. One, she is so well known outside of G.I. Joe circles. Like if you're a casual and you only know it from the animated movie or the Sunbow cartoon or whatever, then you'll know Pythona, or you'll have an idea of who Pythona is, right? And it's very like niche still, don't get me wrong, but I think she's one of those that when you talk about the movie, she just flies out of you. Like she comes, like, she's a huge character. Falcon, Jinx, Sergeant Slaughter, Nemesis Enforcer, Globulus, etc. Those are all so well known in that. So Duke, obviously, more so than, Snake Eyes is hardly in that movie. He's obviously in one of the most important parts in the intro, flipping the trouble bubble, but he's hardly in it. So there's, the biggest, you arguably the most popular character in G.I. Joe history is relegated quite heavily in that film. So yeah, and for reasons that we've known for many years is the fact that he's mute, so it makes it difficult to be a character in a cartoon. But with Pythona, she almost brought a level of Snake Eyes coolness and mysteriousness about it. And I know she's in on the bad guy side, but she the way the infiltration of that of the Terradrome, all of the things that she utilizes, I mean, there's your accessory loadout. Do you know what I mean? You the sticky clam, the squidgy face
Indeed.
hugger, the tapeworm, which was also probably a clam as well. The puffer fish grenades with the spikes on them. All of these crazy things that she has. The four-headed snake electricity thing that chews through the barbed wire and everything. That just so many cool things that she could come with. And then obviously you've got the cape, which would probably have to be soft goods, much like Cobra Commander's cape, but of with the hood and everything. Maybe they would do a hood up head sculpt. I don't know. Maybe that would make more sense to do, but there would definitely have to be something like that. Either the hood comes up and comes over, and you take the hair piece off, which is what the 4-inch figure allowed you to do, or maybe they do something there sculpted. I don't know, but I think there's so many cool things with this one that it's just a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's it's. She's definitely a steals the show as far as G.I. Joe the movie goes, and it's interesting to me how much, as time has passed, a lot of people gravitate toward those movies as far as G.I. Joe and Transformers go. Those end up being some of the most celebrated things, and I think if you told some people who don't know the brand very well that Pythona was only in a movie, that would probably blow their minds because she's such a major character in it, and she's great, and it's one of the most customized characters of the early G.I. Joe community online, is for sure.
I just thought of
Definitely.
an I just thought of another addition, the hands with the nails extended
The nails.
and the
Yeah,
dribbly
totally.
bits coming off. But yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it? Anyway, yeah, sorry, Justin, go ahead, mate.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. I mean, she is one of those figures that seems to be pre-built for the Ultimates line. Like I said, I do think she'd be better with a different head sculpt, maybe as well as the soft goods cape and hood, just because she had a very unique look to her masked head that I'm not sure you could mimic with cloth only. I think you'd have to have some kind of combination of cloth and replaceable head sculpt.
Agreed,
But
agreed.
yeah, with all of those organic weapons she comes with and everything, it's just she's a no-brainer, a slam dunk. I would be shocked if Super 7 didn't already have her on their short list, just because she is one of those characters that is simultaneously pervasive and obscure, which
Yeah.
is really funny. Everybody is tangentially familiar with her, but she still does not have a whole lot of figures or representation
Yeah.
throughout the line. So.
Absolutely. And I would also say it would be cool if they did a wave where it was Pythona and Zartan, and then at least someone's getting that gem
Yeah.
of that size, at least. Right then, moving on then, because yeah, I know that's a winner, that we don't even have to talk about it anymore. Justin, your third one actually ventures away from Sunbow and
Little
focus
bit.
on, yeah, and I like this, but I like this because it kind of touches on two different other elements, which is great.
Yeah, I was trying to think a little bit outside the box because I mean there's a very kind of core group of characters that are well known throughout the Sunbow mythology, and I was trying to think of what might be somebody who's a little bit unusual that maybe folks weren't thinking of, and he has ties to the Sunbow mythology, but primarily, at least in the cartoon, made his appearance in the Deke series, and that's Battle Armor Corps Commander. And there's
Sweet.
a couple reasons why I chose that. I think there's a lot of different options for head sculpts for him. Some ideas I had was obviously the standard battle armor helmet. We could use the reptile head.
From the
I don't
Deke, yeah,
recall.
because in the Deke cartoon, he's got that kind of
Yeah,
underneath, hasn't he? That type,
exactly. From being transformed back from the snake creature to human or whatever, have that reptile head. I'd love it if he had sort of the Marvel Comics sort of beatnik looking head sculpt, with his little mustache and ponytail. I know he didn't necessarily really appear in the battle armor that way. He was just about to, well, he kind of, I think he did in one issue, and he was just about to put it on permanently when he got shot and then was replaced by Fred Seven.
So maybe
But
a
I
Fred
think,
Seven head sculpt as well, do you think
well,
then?
yeah, exactly. It could be a Fred Seven head sculpt as well. The only reason I'd be somewhat dubious to have this done is because I'd also like to see it done in the classified line. I think it'd be a really cool thing in classified too. But one thing with an Ultimates version is by doing it in a 7-inch scale, maybe it works with classified okay, and because it's a big battle armor suit, having it be larger kind of makes sense. I don't know. It's a tough call because I'd love to see classified's take on it. I think they would do really well with their more detailed sculpting and really lean into the technology and the interactions between material and stuff like that of the battle armor suit. But still, I think there's enough ties to the comic book and the cartoon universe that you could kind of marry them both within this single figure.
I think
And
if you did
plus,
an
I needed a Cobra character to choose, so why
I
not be Cobra Commander?
think if you did aesthetically the cartoon, the Deke cartoon, like the overall aesthetic, and then you had those other homages that from, like they say, the comic book from Fred Seven, and that they would still work on it. But I know what you mean. Like you kind of want to, you want that version that is like the bells and whistles, where it's like every single detail on that original figure is really brought to life, which Classified would definitely do with texture and all that stuff. And the Ultimates is going to be way more like smoother and more animation model stuff. And yeah, so I think that would work really well to have a very smooth animation version in Ultimates, and then the singing, all dancing, bells and whistles detail in Classified, definitely.
What's really striking me is the image that you chose from the comic book and the Deke cartoon, and how different the helmet really was portrayed with those. Like the comic book has it way more rounded, even not the top of the helmet, but the sides don't bell out as much, and he has more of a standard like breather mask over his face that you might see medically, compared to what the toy has and the Deke cartoon has. And then the eyes are joined. It's just interesting to me looking at that. It almost would make me want to have two different helmets so that you could have looks.
So you could have two helmeted heads, a Fred Seven head, a Beatnik Cobra Commander head, and what was the other one we decided?
The
And
reptile,
the
unmasked
reptile.
reptile head,
Five alternate heads. But that's where all of the tooling could go for that particular set of homage
I would want
accessories.
space for Iguana Serpentor.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. Yeah.
That's genius. That is genius. Yeah. And maybe even a snake Cobra Commander as well. Like, just before he gets turned back into his, his, because obviously you're going
In
very
some sort
deep.
of dragon fire packaging or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It could be like a deluxe set with all those different heads and everything. Well, we're talking about that later, I think. But yeah, it'd be a lot to, could be cool.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah, good shout on that one, Justin. I really like that decision that you made there. Pat, you're up next, buddy, and you've gone for another, I would say, kind of like very specifically Sunbow designed character here that is different from anywhere else that we see this character.
Yeah, that's kind of why I picked this one, was because his Sunbow look is so different from anywhere else that you see him, and I chose Ace.
Nice.
It always was weird to me how different the Ace Sunbow character design is from the toy.
Yeah.
And I really don't really know where Sunbow came up with that. Like, if you look at the chest of him, it kind of does look like the Ace toy, but minus some of the gear
Yeah, that
and
kind of box and yeah.
yeah, it looks like it's vaguely that same design, but also they didn't want to have that same helmet on. Like the pressure suit that he actually has as a toy is not the helmet that he has in the cartoon. The cartoon, he has more a helmet that you may actually see somebody flying a Tomcat with. So it's weird that there's that difference, but I think that difference would make this toy somewhat unique and one that would be worthwhile. And Ace, as a kid, Ace was one of the toys that I'd play with. As far as Joe's going on a mission, you would always have, I don't know, it worked out in my head that the logic that he didn't have a lot of space in the cockpit and Steeler came with an Uzi, I always gave Ace the Uzi from the accessory pack. So that was what my Ace ran with.
I always gave Ace a pistol, any kind of loose pistol that I had extra, because like
Yeah.
it, that felt like the pilots, when they crash behind enemy lines. That's all you got. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. Not really any pistols in the accessory packs, were there? I
No,
mean,
I would just have one, but yeah,
windbenders.
I would have a box full of my accessories, which was just the grossest thing to try and put your hand in, because it was like that. If you ever come to, if you've ever been to boss fight ever in the past, they have this. It's like a box full of spears from the first Kickstarter,
Oh
and it's
man,
almost like
hurt
the.
yourself on that.
It's almost like the don't put your hand in the syringe box, guys, because that's what it's like. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, Ace, brilliant choice, Pat, and I want to. I would say yeah, unhelmets. Sorry. Unhelmeted, helmetless, and helmeted heads for him. And then, in terms of like other homage accessories, that's difficult. But he does definitely appear in a lot of episodes, doing lots of different random stuff. So I've got a feeling there would be something you could throw in there. But I'd have to do a, I would have to watch a bunch of episodes again and get a good idea of what could be thrown in there.
Same here. I can't think of anything.
Let us know in the comments, guys, if you know of any specific homage accessories that would go well with Ace, because I'm drawing a blank there. Yeah, so my choice, sticking with the Joes again, and that is again another huge character in Action Force, International Heroes era, my era, VHS, the comics, all that good stuff, and that is Quick Kick. And this one is again, I think, is obviously they're doing Quick Kick in the Classified series. We know that. That's been name dropped already. So we're in a position now where I think they could definitely do a Quick Kick Ultimates and have him just decked out homage-wise with all of like the fudgies, the frozen fudgy bar and like the rope that he's got in the Pyramids of Darkness episode that goes across his chest. So that could be thrown on there as a secondary. You've got the obviously the nunchucks, which he's kind of synonymous with in the cartoon and in the toy. His sword, the backpack, all that kind of jazz. And then there's loads of other episodes he's in where he's the main character. And there's one where he falls in love and there's this whole like love situation going on. And I can't think of any homages necessarily in that. But again, there's going to be boundless things you can throw in there. And in t but in terms of like alternate heads, I don't think there's a very a great amount of options, except maybe in some he's not wearing his bandana. you know, or the headband maybe. But other than that, I can't think of anywhere he was doing something different. So that would be a little bit of a difficult one to go with. The ninja stars, I would definitely have come out of the... I would have them come out of the sash, though. I think that would be kind of a nice touch. What do you guys think for Quick Kick?
Yeah, he's one of those characters that he is synonymous with the cartoon for sure. And yeah, I was thinking that maybe he could come with Excalibur, but I know Storm Shadow, I believe, already comes with Excalibur, doesn't he?
He does.
And I know they have a little skirmish over that at one of the episodes. I love the idea of the fudgy bar and stuff like that. I mean, whatever, you know, can connect him with Bazooka and Alpine is positive in my book. He's one of those ridiculous figures that, you know, kind of belongs in the cartoon. Although, you know, Hama did manage to do some stuff with him in the comic before he unceremoniously killed him off in the desert. But
maybe the comic head with the massive hair that he has in that.
Yeah,
because he does have a lot of hair.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a cool idea. Or did he go on the mission to Barovia and did he have like some eye black on or something like that? Maybe something along those lines.
He did go to Barovia, 100%.
Yeah, so he's a cool character. He's one of those, you know, when I was younger and less sophisticated than I am now, you know, I always had this like little resentment for Quick Kick because Snake Eyes was my favorite character. I grew up on the comic. Comic was everything to me. So both Spirit and Quick Kick kind of replaced Snake Eyes in the cartoon. You know, I mean, Spirit was Storm Shadow's arch enemy, kind of.
Yeah.
And then, you know, had episodes like Excalibur where Quick Kick is going back and forth to Storm Shadow in a martial arts battle. And that's kind of like, you know, get these rejects out of here. Snake Eyes is who should be fighting Storm Shadow. Obviously, my thinking has evolved since I've grown older. But I've learned to appreciate those characters very much. And I think it'd be great to have, you know, a Quick Kick versus Storm Shadow little scenario in Ultimates form. I really, really dig that idea a lot.
Yeah. I'm really into Quick Kick. I'm so excited he's coming for the Classified series. And I feel like he's a shoo-in for Ultimates, et cetera, for Super 7 at some point. Pat, you cool with Quick Kick?
Yeah, the obscure Quick Kick thing that pops in my mind is the Action Stars cereal where he has a shirt. So I don't know that you could work that into a reaction figure because he'd need another torso, but it would be a really deep cut that I would appreciate.
That would be a lovely deep cut. I reckon they could do that in the reaction line as a cereal box figure. You know, maybe they do a whole range of reaction Action Star serial figures. How freaking awesome would that be?
That would be really cool. Yeah, attach them to an Action Stars box.
That'd be great.
Or just include them somewhere in the box. You got to dig down to the bottom to get the figure. Make the serial again.
Let's do. Right, I'll email him right now.
Call Brian Flynn. Make it happen.
Awesome. Okay, coming back now to the movie and Justin's fourth and final choice of today. Justin, take us through that, please, buddy.
It's got to be Chuckles. Chuckles, but as he appeared in the G.I. Joe movie, because his shirt was very unique in that movie compared to the action figure. He had a very unique personality, you know. I mean, he wasn't that smooth-talking CIA agent like he is in the comic or in the file cards. He was kind of the strong but silent type. You know, running around and chucking missiles at people. So I think
the Havoc missiles in there, right? Yeah, okay.
Yep,
good.
One of the Havoc missiles would come with the figure as one of the accessories. You know, I mean, I just think there's a wealth of different cool things that you could do with a more movie accurate Chuckles figure, and that would absolutely be one of my choices for Ultimates. I don't know what you would do for like extra head sculpts or anything like that, but just the figure itself was such a fun addition to the Renegades and such a weird, you know, as everything with Sunbow, you know, they don't explain why he's walking around in a Hawaiian shirt and why, you know, he's ended up on this group of seven, you know, quote unquote Renegades. You know, none of them have any really connection to each other. You got a Green Beret, you've got a Tunnel Expert, you've got some dude in a sports jersey, you got Chuckles in his Hawaiian shirt.
Female ninja.
So it's, yeah, exactly. It's so inane and ridiculous, but it's also so much fun that it really speaks to how ludicrous G.I. Joe was and how wonderfully ludicrous it was. I mean, that was part of the joy of it back in the day. You know, you didn't pick it apart. You just kind of rolled with it and it was hilarious. You just loved seeing your toys come to life. And I think having a action figure representative, you know, representation of this version of Chuckles would be very cool.
Canine unit. Sorry, I'm doing all of the different. Next time, Justin, use the rocket launcher. No, I'm with you on this one 100%. I think it was a great idea. It's definite they have to go with that white Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Like, definitely 100%. And I just think, yeah, you keep it simple and give him the things that you expect, but also the missile's got to be in there. The that bazooka that he uses when it's just him versus a bunch of like blimmin' giant worms that are coming towards him, and he's just shooting at them like everyone's like getting away, and he's at the bottom of the stairs just shooting rockets at these horrible blimmin' wormy things. So yeah, I would definitely go with those kind of elements for him, because and then maybe some of the vines, the vines that take the tomahawk down that he is riding. Obviously, the pistol, that's got to be in there in the old secondary.
Removable pistol, from the holster,
But I think definitely. I think that's good enough. I think that's great for his, for, you know, you don't need to go any...
Yeah, and you can balance them off. You know, you got Battle Armor Cobra Commander who comes with like 18 different head sculpts, and then Chuckles can be just a little bit simpler.
Exactly, and he was a little bit simpler. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. More way than one.
Pat, you're going straight to the core book, aren't you, for your last choice, and it's actually definitely one, I think, one that we're going to see, and two that I'd love to see as well.
That is true. Maybe by the time you get this edited, there will be like the next wave, and it'll include Roadblock, because that's my choice. And then it'll probably also include Footloose for the number of times that you said that they're just never going to make it.
How great if every single one is in our selection somewhere, like for the wave that comes out. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? I will ask you the main question here though, Pat, because it will actually be necessary. Who do you go with first? Do you go with version one or version two?
I gotta go with version one. That was my Roadblock as a kid. I just think back to, I don't know, I was walking through. It's weird how the way that you played with things as a kid continued to, or at least for me, they continued in my mind. Each time I walked past it, the Easter section in Walmart, because, you know, they have that stuff out now.
Wow.
I only think of Roadblock because the Easter grass that I used to get was green. And then when I would, you know, I would have my Easter basket, and when I would be done with it, Roadblock would be in there, and he'd be battling the vines.
Amazing.
From, you know, the Revenge of Cobra. Amazing. So that was just one of the things that I would play out. And so it's weird how I walk past, I see Easter grass, even though it doesn't look at all like it did in the early 80s. It was just shredded plastic back then.
This isn't the same Easter grass that Footloose smokes, is it?
Maybe.
You never know.
No, that's awesome, Pat. I would also say that you can probably save version 2 that way for a movie-related scenario in the future, because I feel like Roadblock is one of those ones that you have to revisit for a line. Like, he's so core in that sense.
Yeah, but I like the version 1 Roadblock design. I love that they came out with a version 2, and that, you know, I guess the soul patch is probably the big difference between his character model, just looking at the two of them.
Yeah.
Is what he's wearing. You know, day to day he may change his clothes, but, you know, he grew in a little more facial hair.
just a little bit of poop.
Yeah, I love the version 2 design. I do. There is something weird about how the green vest and red pads started feeling like it was just a G.I. Joe thing to me. He has that. Cross Country has kind of a green vest with red pads. And is there another character that kind of has the same thing?
Lowlight has the red pads. I know what you mean. The padding, the weird red padding does come up.
Padding just started popping up.
On like every figure, you're right. Like, it's weird, isn't it? Like, just on the shoulder here or a little bit there. And
it started to become like a look for the line.
Lift Ticket had some of that too, I think. I seem to remember. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's great shout on that one, I think, Pat. It's one that I think is probably a solid bet for the next wave, honestly.
Like I said earlier in when we were talking, they need to get the core characters and the not core characters in. But Roadblock, at this point, Roadblock is a core character, which
100%.
But yeah, I think that he needs to be soon.
Definitely. Good shout, mate. Good shout. And again, he could come with like, you know, vines. You've already mentioned that. That would be a great one to throw in there. He could come with obviously his Mardus on the tripod and the little backpack and the helmet. So he could have like maybe either a removable helmet or he could have alternate heads. I mean, in that sense.
Or if we're doing the vehicles that Justin kind of justified with pointing out other Super 7 projects, maybe he could have that helicopter they built out of a Sky Striker somehow.
Yes, that's in there definitely. No, good shouts, man. And again, some great choices we've had so far. So I'm going to ruin it for everybody now with my fourth choice. And that is, I'm going a little bit out of the box on mine. Now, as a huge Flint fan and a huge Flint's Vacation fan, I want to see Flint in his casual gear with his still with his beret on. So in this one, this is kind of like very simple for me again. Like now we could go a little bit crazy with this and we could say he comes with his sports car and it's like more of a, you know, this is where the vehicle for the G.I. Joe comes into play for the Ultimates. But I don't think it would be as well received as the way I would receive it. 'Cause I mean, it was very much like a very specific thing. The whole car chase scene though was so cool. And I remember if you guys have watched Flint's Vacation, the moment that car chase starts and the dreadnoughts start, like get the police cars start joining the chase and everything, the music changes and it is the most badass element ever. Like that whole piece, the music is awesome, the chase is brilliant. And it's like, do you know, it's a ding, 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 ding. It's just like the music changes and it's just amazing. And then obviously it turns into Commando and he ends up going off the edge of the cliff, like in the sport. It's just brilliant. So what I would suggest in if it's just going to be a standard figure, then I would have obviously him in his cash gear. I'd have the back, the kind of like the duffel bag, which you see in the image I've kind of utilized here, with strap. I'd have him with his with his, without the beret and with the beret head sculpts, and I'd also have him with the pistol, the classic. I call it the Flint pistol, but it was kind of a G.I. Joe pistol, the one with the missing bit of the barrel. It's like magic. Like what? It's a laser pistol, I know, but it's awesome. And I would have that. And I'd have what else would I throw in there? I think that's pretty much all I can really think of for casual Flint. But again, like I'd like to keep it simple, but I'd love to see them do it. I'd love to see them do that kind of stuff because it's quirky, it's outside of the box, and it's core character all at the same time. So that's my choice, and I'm sticking with it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean that episode, I remember it pretty clearly. You know, they can reuse the head and the beret for, you know, standard issue Flint as well as casual Flint. I think it seems like the kind of thing that Super 7 would do. Seems like the kind of thing that Classified wouldn't do. So I think both of those things are kind of play into making it happen. I think it'd be great. I love it.
There already is a Flint as well, so effectively you could
Yeah.
use the same head, like you say,
Exactly.
and one without the beret. Maybe that'd be the one they'd have to remake again. I don't know, but yeah, I think that would be awesome. And you know, maybe throw in the classic rifle in there as well, like the classic
Sure.
Sambo rifle, just to fill it out a bit. What do you think, Pat? Worth doing or not so sure?
I think given some really appealing accessories, it would be worth doing. Like you're going to need to give people a reason to buy into having this Flint because I don't. It's not going to be
That's
anybody's.
true.
It's good, but as an extra, sure. And I kind of wonder how much the Club Vacation in the Shadows Flint was based on this because he did kind of have that light green to him, but you know, then they made it camouflage and all over. So not quite the same, but it was like that lime green. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
He has on as a shirt. So I do wonder if they were referencing this at all whenever they made that
I'd
one.
love to see it in the reaction line, honestly. And if they did a vehicle, if they did the car in the reaction line too, I'd want that so bad.
It does feel like something that belongs in the reaction line. But yeah, I think that it could sell in the Ultimates. It just, like I said, needs the right accessories.
Agreed. I agree with that one. Throw a decent accessory in there and yeah, you're sorted. Well, that brings us to the end of all of our choices for today. Well, we've got one more segment to do before we leave, and that is version therapy, guys. So let's get stuck into that before we go.
Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organizing it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding.
Right, continuing with our regular monthly segment now, Version Therapy, which is where we choose a single G.I. Joe or Cobra character and have a discussion on what action figure is their best. Now, of course, we are all probably going to have different opinions on this based on when we were born, personal experience and so on, but that's where the fun lies. Feel free to let us know who your favourite action figure version is and why in the comments below as well. So who have we got next? Well, last month we looked at Scarlet, based on her inclusion in the recent HasLab Skystriker set. So this week, and related to Super 7 Ultimates chat, we decided to go with the Battle Android Trooper. Right, guys, let's start then back to you, Justin, to start us off. Why? I'm saying that because we all know what it's going to be.
Everybody knows what I'm going to pick. I mean, it's a running joke, my love for Sigma 6. And I mean, the bats were kind of the backbone of the entire Cobra organization in Sigma 6, especially the Sky Bat. Because they had a Ninja Bat who was pretty cool, too. And the Ninja Bat was great in the cartoon. I didn't really like the figure a whole lot because it had that, like, spring-loaded, you know, string gimmick and wasn't as articulated. But the Sky Bat was fantastic in the cartoon, and the toy was just incredible. You see things in certain media, like cartoons and comics, and you're like, oh, man. And at the time that the comic or the cartoon first aired, they hadn't made the Sky Bat yet. It didn't exist because the cartoon, the Sigma 6 cartoon, was kind of a repurposed animation from sort of the tail end of the 4-inch line, which was going to transition to Robot Rebellion or whatever. So they had cartoons partially made for that already, and the Sky Bat was featured in those. And so it had a prominent place in those first five episodes of the Sigma 6 animated series. That was before the figure was released. And you saw those, they were actually CGI animated. They were gorgeous and really, really nicely animated, very cool, lots of action. I was like, oh, that Sky Bat is fantastic. I hope they make that an action figure form. And you have those moments sometimes where you see something on the screen or the page, you're like, I hope they make an action figure of that. And there's only very rarely that when they make an action figure of it, that it lives up to the expectations that you set in your head when you saw the cartoon.
Yeah.
And Sky Bat totally did that. The figure was well articulated. You know, it had the great kind of mounted arm-mounted double barrel gun. It had the wings that, you know, were nicely detailed. It was what was called at the time a soldier figure, which was a step down from, they had commando figures, which I think were, I don't know if they were $14.99 or $19.99, that had a ton of gear, had like the plastic trunks that came with weapons. They were sort of the deluxe figures. And they had the soldier figures, which carded, they were $9.99. They were cheaper, less expensive, typically came with less gear. Somehow they took this Sky Bat with his wings, with his arm-mounted cannon, put it out at a soldier price point for $9.99. So, you know, crazy army builders like me, I got 20 of these things. This figure is 8 inches tall, and I've got 20 of them because I loved the figure so much, and I just bought it every single chance I got. And the sculpting was fantastic. The articulation was perfect. Just the overall design aesthetic. It was like the animation come to life, and I cannot overstate how much I love the Sky Bat. Was really, really a highlight of the Sigma 6 line. It came out early in the line, but remains one of my favorite all-time figures of that entire series, and just one of my favorite versions of the Battle Android Trooper, you know, all told. It's fantastic.
For me, it's the head sculpt. I just think that's phenomenal. Like the two small red eyes, but then like the kind of the detail going into like, you know, the little mouthpiece and everything. It's just really, really awesome. And it's so different. Like it's a complete departure from what you know the Battle Android Trooper to be.
It was back in the day when they didn't feel like they had to make something look like the vintage version, where they could really introduce a new idea.
Yeah.
Between color scheme, the fact that it had wings, which none of the previous bats did. You know, it didn't have a removable arm with replaceable. I mean, it was a totally different thing, but they marketed under that same Battle Android Trooper moniker, and it worked. You know, it worked perfectly. You know, and it really, I said earlier, I was a comic fan. So, back when I was younger, I resented certain things about the cartoon. They always parachute out of planes. They're shooting laser guns. Nobody ever gets hurt, all this stuff. But in Sigma Six, the bat was cool enough that I didn't mind that all the Cobra Troopers were robots, and it let G.I. Joe kind of be a little bit more aggressive and shoot them down and blow them up and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it just worked really, really well. Yeah, I think I'm just in love with this figure. And I love the fact, like you said, they tried something new unapologetically, didn't like make any little secret homages to the vintage stuff. They just went whole hog, new concept, new everything. And that's really what I liked about Sigma Six all told, is that they did do some homages here and there, of course. But by and large, they really kind of ripped the Band-Aid off and just tried something totally new and let it live its own life, which was great.
No, I have to agree with that. It doesn't bear any resemblance to any previous Battle Android
right.
Trooper, really. And that's really cool. Honestly, it's an amazing figure. And it's arguably, I was looking at them as well, like trying to get a gauge of, what my favorite version was going to be. And the Skyback just kept popping back up again. Just like, yeah, that was pretty dope, though. And yeah, it's one that I own it as well. Never had it out of the box, though. So never really enjoyed it like that. I know, isn't that crazy?
Killed me.
The only Sigma 6 I have had out of the box are the ones I had at the time, which were the load of different Snake Eyes versions of Snake Eyes. But Pat, what are your thoughts on that? Was the Skybat something of your enjoyment?
I never actually had one either. I think Justin bought them all, so we didn't get them. But what's weird to me about the Skybat is the name. Because bats should by default be able to be in the sky.
It's a good point.
It's like
ground rat.
It's your water fish. There's your land person. It doesn't really make sense. In the context of G.I. Joe, it does. But it doesn't.
That's great.
Pat's
That's a good point.
Name.
I've never heard that before. That's a very valid point.
Pat's new code name is
And
they
were such
fish.
The standard bat, honestly, in Sigma 6. It did feel like the ninja bats were the specialized ones.
Yeah.
And the Sky Bats were the standard ones.
Yes, agreed. Agreed on that. Yeah, brilliant. Great choice, Justin, for the first one. And actually, the one that Pat's going to tell us, I probably would have... That would have been after I've gone like, the Sky Bat's pretty cool. This is the next one that I think would have been on my top list. But go on, Pat.
For me, so much fun was revolving around this figure. I was just excited about this one from the very beginning. So it's Nanobat.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I love the fact that that you can trace the silliness and the mishandling of the nano stuff, I will say, because the nano technology kind of started in Devil's Due.
Yeah.
Where it was not like, it was like the MacGuffin of the week in that issue.
Yeah.
They weren't intending it to be like the thing that would be everything that would be written about. The way that it was ended up portrayed in Rise of Cobra,
yeah,
which it was kind of just the device that Cobra was using, but they used it for so many things in the movie. And I guess that makes sense. It's this technology they can use to explain, how Zartan works and how Cobra technology works. And it just does everything in that movie.
How does Zartan works? I love that.
But it became a bit much. But then you have it filtered by some other really creative people into this bat technology, and they just kind of used it to go, well, the green in the movie was had a neat bright look to it, and that would look good on a figure.
Yeah.
And in order to subdue it so it's not just bright everywhere, in order to make that green pop, you put it against gray.
Yeah.
It works so well as a figure that you have what started off as just kind of like an idea for an issue turns into this big movie where they take it too far. And then it's filtered by creative people to make it into a really good figure. I just love it.
I have to agree with you. I think it's beautiful. And it's that color scheme. That gray and like neon green color is such... I have a pair of sneakers. I have two pairs of sneakers of that color because I love them so much. I love that color combination. Yeah, beautiful. And definitely one that I think there's just a nice finish to it. There's a very like that kind of like you say that bright kind of green, but then the finish on the gray is really clean and crisp. But it's dull, if that makes sense. but it just works so well against that ridiculous bright green color. Yeah, just love it. I think it's gorgeous. What about you, Justin?
Oh yeah, I mean it really is. It's a striking looking figure. Just looking at it, looking at the pictures that you sent around, Chris, it's a reminder of how cool and esoteric some things were back in those days. You know, they really kind of thought outside the box, and I love the way its battle damaged head sculpt is like.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was gold and green with gray painted over it, but it was just the blend of the colors is just fantastic. It's really magnificent, and where you know some of the softer material of the limbs still manages to be just as bright as like the neck and other parts. They just did a really, really nice job with that figure.
And the fact that it's nanotechnology makes you think that all those parts and the limbs and everything are all being like built, like made, like on by the little nanomites, you know, like, and it's like something different, you
maybe
know.
Instead of pulling off an attachment and putting it back on, it just goes, reforms into the other attachment. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
So like, even though that's not what the toy feature is necessarily, it's something that in your head, that's how you feel like it would be operating. Totally. And I always like it when a figure makes you think about that a little bit more. Even if it's obvious, I do like that it gives you that kind of narrative a little bit. So that's awesome. Great choice, Pat. I have to say, both of your choices were like high up on my list too. And I ended up kind of like umming and erring a lot. But there are two that kind of like went up there. And I'm still not sure which one is my favorite, completely my favorite. So I'm going to go with, as an honorable mention, I'm going to mention the Constructicon bot, which is the SDCC G.I. Joe Transformers crossover issue 6 kind of job from 2012, I think it was. And that was the Shockwave Hiss Tank, Destro, and the Constructicon Bat. So that the bat, and obviously there's other things it comes with. It comes with loads of like, it's like the tape decks and like, it's like blasters. Is it Blaster or Soundwave? I think it's Soundwave with like all the little tapes and everything. And then you've got the Energon cubes on the rack and everything, but they're are they nano or they no they are Energon cubes, aren't they? Of course
Energon,
they are. The Energon cubes on the trolley, just awesome little additional on like accessories and stuff, just brilliant. But the actual, I love the color scheme. I think that it's so beautiful, like the purple in there for Decepticon, the green in there for the Constructicons. I mean, green and purple for the Constructicons. But then also like the color of the internal mechanism, the black with the kind of like metallic scratch on the helmet and the arms and everything. Just brilliant. Really, really, really love it, and thought it was a great addition to the Bat kind of like family. That's my honorable mention though, because I'm probably just going to have to say the Classified version. I love the Classified Bat. I think it's just phenomenal. Like, I think it's a great, and it's very strict vintage aesthetic, obviously. But I think having that in that 6-inch kind of like in my hand and everything, the satisfaction of having that outweighs a lot of things. And there's not much on it that is, I would say, is a con. Like, maybe like the, you know, not having as many attachments, storage or whatever, and having that one that's like on the side. But even then, it's kind of like an interesting way to have the additional storage, I guess. It never really bothered me so much, and it kind of looks kind of interesting. So yeah, I'd have to go with the Classified one on this one. And again, I don't know what you guys would think. Out of those two, which would you go for, Justin?
I think the Classified version gets the edge a little bit. Although I will say, the Classified version also borrows a lot from the 25th anniversary version. Seemed like the modern era sort of shifted with that 25th anniversary bat. Like, there was, you had these figures that came out before it that had a little bit limited, you know, hip articulation, had some softer sculpting, were nice, but, you know, repurposed a lot of parts. You know, it came on the heels of Sigma 6, so automatically that was points against it in my book. But leading up to the bat, you had a certain expectation for the modern era figures. Then the bat came out and was kind of blew everybody away. And then, you know, from there on, they, you know, continued kind of upping the standards a little bit. So I really loved the 25th anniversary one too. But that kind of framed, you know, sort of the Constructicon bat was built off that same box. So was the Nano bat. So I think that's kind of included in those. But the Classified version, I agree. They just knocked it out of the park. I mean, you know, androids are figures that are easy to like really go in all not easy, but you can really kind of crank up the detail and the sculpting and stuff like that. And the way they did the elbow articulation that really lets it, the arm bend so completely, the flawless way they've did the replaceable weapons. I think the classified version is really spectacular. I think it owes a lot of its inspiration to the 25th anniversary version. But yeah, it's definitely up there on my list of favorites for sure.
Yeah. Are you, what are your thoughts on that, Pat? Are you Classified or Constructicon? Which one would you go with?
Well, I like the Constructicon bat since it looks like he's pretty much, you know, a lot of what we see when you look at a bat is actual clothes. You know, it's weird that Cobra spent the money to put them, to put clothes on their robots. The Constructicon bat, for the most part, a lot of the gear is just, you know, you can put more, put a new onesie or whatever it is they put on their bat, and then boots. And it's, for the most part, just a normal bat.
Do you know,
and
what, do you know what I get from that? The narrative in my head is like they're making Terminators, right? And yeah, they got to a point and it was like, we can't afford this. We can't afford the skin. Yeah. We can't afford this. So you just have to make them as, like, you know, get them wearing something that just about covers some of the areas, and we'll go with that. Like, it's a, like, it's a cost,
like an intimidation thing.
Yeah.
So it's clear that it feels like an army coming at you with with a. It does make story sense that they have it, have clothes on. Sure.
It's fun though. It's ridiculous at the same time, I've got to admit.
But I would have to say that as far as quality action figures go, I was really blown away whenever I realized that you can actually pose the classified figure with him pulling the arm off.
Hell yeah.
Putting another one on. That's the first bat that can do that, as far as I know.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't have the Sky Bat, so I'm not sure if he can pop off. Did they pop off?
No, see, his hands didn't pop off. That was so cool about him. He didn't rely on that tired trope. He had these double-barreled guns that kind of slipped over his arm. Much better.
Okay, yeah, the 4-inch figure popped off the elbow that you would swap out the arms with with the guns. It still had the arms sculpted on them, so it didn't feel like in the story they were actually popping off.
Right.
But yeah, I think that the head sculpt of the classified series bat is the best. Like, don't even bother sculpting another bat head.
Agreed.
In the future.
Agreed. It's beautiful.
Keep using that one. Like, they could take that head sculpt and oversize it and release it as a helmet.
Agreed. Like,
it's that perfect.
Yeah, totally. That would be great, actually. That would be so good. Anyway, yeah, that was brilliant. There are our favorite versions. Guys, let us know your favorite versions of the bat in the comments below. And of course, let us know what you think, obviously, about our choices for the Super 7 Ultimates and what you would go with as well. Again, let us know in the comments below. Who do you want to see in the Super 7 line? Ultimates, that is. Right, that is it for this episode. Guys, thank you so much. It's taken a while, but we're nearly there. Thank you so much, Justin and Pat, for jumping on with me to do this monthly episode. We'll be back next month, of course. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Anytime. Well, anytime on a Friday at 1 o'clock.
Anytime. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. Right, you know what to do at the end of all these episodes. After three, you know what to do. 1, 2, 3.
Full Force.
That'll do. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.